الحمد لله رب العالمين، اللهم صل وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد، we continue after having quite of a long break by Allah's decree in Surah An-Nisa, Ayah 93. أعوذ بالله السميع العليم من الشيطان الرجيم. ومن يقتل مؤمنا متعمدا فجزاؤه جهنم خالدا فيها وغضب الله عليه ولعنه وأعد له عذابا عظيما. The ayah says, but whoever kills a believer intentionally, his recompense is hell, wherein he will abide eternally. And Allah has become angry with him and has cursed him and has prepared for him a great punishment. Whoa! That's what the ulama say, but they use different language to express their amazement at this ayah. In English you say, whoa. In Arabic you say, ajib. يعني, did you hear what was there? Whoever kills a believer intentionally, he will go to Jahannam, he will abide eternally, Allah's angry with him, and his curse is upon him, and then Allah Azza wa Jal will prepare for him a great punishment. How many punishments are these? Five. Five. Each one of them is sufficient to prevent a Muslim from getting involved in killing a fellow Muslim. Eternally. We will see. Take it easy. Take it easy. This is the crux. You know, when you say eternally, does that mean that he's a disbeliever? And so here the Khawarij bring their ideology and they use this ayah and other ayah to prove that the one who commits major sin is a disbeliever. Then we have the refutation of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. It's a long discussion which the Shaykh will actually address. But before we get into the intricacies of this subject matter, I just want you to reflect on the punishment. Five different terrifying punishments for merely killing a believer intentionally. You will not find this being a consequence of any other sin. Any other sin, you will not find there isn't a single ayah which threatens in this fashion. There are other ayat which are also threatening, like فَأَذَنُوا بِحَرْبٍ مِنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. For the one who engages in riba, Allah said that, you know, then prepare yourselves and take the declaration of war from Allah and His Messenger. That's pretty scary too. But this one is a heavyweight. Five. Now, the Shaykh said, rahimahullah, in his commentary, تَقَدَّمَ أَنَّ اللَّهَ أَخْبَرَ أَنَّهُ لَا يَصْدُرُ قَتْلَ الْمُؤْمِنِ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِ. We have already discussed earlier that Allah Azza wa Jal said that it is not possible that a believer will kill a believer. Does that mean in terms of decree or in terms of what faith necessitates? Otherwise, by the decree of Allah, would a believer kill another believer intentionally? In the decree of Allah, do believers kill each other intentionally? All day, all the time. They kill each other all the time. Look around the Muslim world. The Muslim world is the biggest example of Muslims killing Muslims. Even if these Muslims killing these other deviant Muslims, disobedient Muslims, innovators, nevertheless, they still are within the folds of Islam. And so you're still killing a Muslim. Because there's no distinction. He's a mubtadi'. Yeah, but he's a Muslim. If he's a believer, he's a Muslim, then he has particular rights. Wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullah. طيب. وَأَنَّ الْقَتْلَ مِنَ الْكُفْرُ الْعَمَلِي. And that killing is an act of disbelief in terms of action. Wa alaykum salam. يعني كفر عملي, meaning it is an action of kufr, but it is not a aqidah of kufr. Very important. Because you may do an act of kufr physically, while not believing or while not having the quality of kufr spiritually. They all know the hadith of the man who in previous times, before the time of the Prophet ﷺ, told his children, he was very disobedient, never really was a good person. He said to his children, when I die, I want you to burn me and then just throw my ashes in the ocean. Because if Allah ever got a hold of me, I'm going to be in trouble. Now, technically speaking, this is disbelief. Because he's doubting, the apparent meaning of the words, he doubts that Allah can get a hold of him if he was able to change himself into debris. If he became nothing but dust and he was thrown in the ocean, khalas. That means Allah no longer can bring him back. That's kufr. But the man did this out of fear. He wasn't really doubting Allah's ability to bring him back. It was fear, misunderstanding. That's why the hadith mentions that Allah Azza wa Jal commanded the ocean and all the different, you know, the earth to bring him back. And he was brought back to Allah. Allah said, what made you do this? He said, fear of you. And so Allah forgave him. Now, of course, this is a principle and a foundation in Islam that you have to be very careful. Now, of course, if someone is doing acts of kufr, we declare kufr. Apparently, but the subject matter belongs to Allah at the end of the day. Whatever happens to him belongs to Allah, depends on his niyyah. But it doesn't mean that we become like the murji'a who say that iman has nothing to do with deeds. And so you can do whatever you want, or you're still a believer. No, there are things where if you curse the Prophet ﷺ, you have disbelieved. And no one can say, yeah, but in my heart I meant to praise him, but in my tongue I you know, cursed him. Doesn't work this way. So this is a very delicate matter. Ala kulli hal, we're not going to go into it now. But the Shaykh saying, qatl is kufr amali. It's that kind of kufr which has to do with actions. وَذَكَرَ هُنَا وَعِيدِ الْقَاتِلْ عَمْدًا وَعِيدًا تَرْجُفُ لَهُ الْقُلُوبُ وَتَنْصَدِعُ لَهُ الْأَفْئِدَةُ وَتَنْزَعِجُ مِنْهُ أُولُو الْعُقُولِ. And Allah Azza wa Jal here mentioned the threat of the in killer intentionally with a threat to which the hearts tremble and the hearts get like yanked out of your body because of the severity, and you become disturbed if you had any intellect. فَلَمْ يَرِدْ فِي أَنْوَاعِ الْكَبَائِرِ أَعْظَمُ مِنْ هَذَا الْوَعِيدِ. There hasn't ever been mentioned among all the threats which Allah threatens His slaves with, there hasn't been anything greater concerning the major sins than this one. Like I told you earlier, this is the greatest one. بَلْ وَلَا مِثْلُهُ. Rather, not even something close to it. Not only nothing, you know, more than that, not even equal to that. Everything was lesser than that. أَلَا وَهُوَ الْإِخْبَارُ بِأَنَّ جَزَاءَهُ جَهَنَّمُ. First, Allah said that His recompense is the hellfire. أَيْ فَهَذَا الذَّنْبُ الْعَظِيمُ قَدْ انْتَهَضَ وَحْدَهُ أَنْ يُجَازِي صَحِبَهُ بِجَهَنَّمُ. This single sin, killing a believer intentionally, is sufficient to qualify this person to enter Jahannam. بِمَا فِيهَا مِنَ الْعَذَابِ الْعَظِيمِ وَالْخِزْيِ الْمُهِينِ. Along with what it has, Jahannam, it has of the great punishment and the disgracing humiliation. وَسَخَطِ الْجَبَّارِ, and the anger of the irresistible, Allah. وَفَوَاتِ الْفَوْزِ, and missing out on success. وَالْفَلَاحِ, fawz, victory. Success, falah, success, meaning no jannah. وحصول الخيبة والخسار, along with having disappointment and loss. فعياذا بالله من كل سبب يبعد عن رحمته. So we seek refuge with Allah from every single reason which may deprive us of His mercy. وهذا الوعيد له حكم أمثاله من نصوص الوعيد على بعض الكبائر والمعاصي بالخلود في النار أو حرمان الجنة. Here you have to open your eyes, your ears, your brain, your heart. Because what I'm about to convey to you is very important. Way too important. This principle, if you understand it, you will understand hundreds of textual evidences correctly. And if you misunderstand it, you will misunderstand hundreds of textual evidences correctly, and you are exposed and you're vulnerable to being misled from the path of Allah. If someone brings to you some doubt, says, you know, but Allah said this, and you don't understand this principle, you will get lost. So, focus here. طيب. The Shaykh said, this particular threat has or takes on the same ruling as the other textual evidences wherein major sins and sins in general were threatened by Allah that the person will be abiding in the hellfire eternally or be deprived of Jannah. Yani, if you read the Quran and you read the Sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, you will find evidences which suggest that a particular sin will make you go to Jahannam eternally and will deprive you of paradise. For example, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, there are three kinds of people who will not enter Jannah. Ad-dayyuz, one of them is the old man, the old fornicator, an old man who's fornicating and committing adultery because you're old. It's too abhorrent. And the man who sells his product and merchandise by false oaths and swearing. Wallahi, this is the best thing in the market. Wallah, and he knows he's a liar. And last one, ad-dayyuz. Ad-dayyuz is a man who lacks jealousy over his women folks. He doesn't mind his wife going out half naked, men looking at her. He doesn't mind his daughters dressing inappropriately. He doesn't mind his mother. He doesn't mind his sister. He doesn't care if they go now having boyfriends. They're mixing with men. All this is whatever to him. This is a dayyuz. And according to the hadith, he will not enter Jannah. Not. So, if someone brings this hadith to you and says, look, man, this guy is going to Jannah forever. Why? Look at his wife. You say, brother, but come on, he's a believer. And we know that the believer will eventually go to Jannah. He say, yeah, but the Prophet ﷺ said, he will not enter Jannah. But now you're rejecting the hadith of the Messenger of Allah. Huh? You're in trouble, man. Do you have an answer? Can someone give us an answer before we get the Shaykh's answer? Because this is sensitive. Way more sensitive than the most sensitive skin. What?
No, as long as the person not yet died, even he has kafir or disbelief Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if he's still alive, we can judge him until he died and in this thing of kufur.
So we say if someone let his wife, you know, walk around with no hijab, she shows her hair, which is a form of diyata. It's a form of diyata, which means he's a dayyuz. Whether he's a dead or alive, if he dies in the same, you say he's going to Jahannam eternally because while he was alive, his wife was like this, he never repented, and his wife is still dressed in the same way. In fact, I saw him the day he died while his wife was with him, and she was still wearing the same clothes. So there's no way he did tawbah, he didn't repent to Allah. Bustinela.
As long as he informed already his wife that that is like this harm, you don't do like it should be. But his wife is disobedient to him, inshallah, the man is excused.
Bustinela, you're solving the problem of that one thing, which is good. But technically speaking, a wife, you know, she has to listen. She has to. I mean, a man cannot tell his wife, you need to cover yourself, and says, no, I'm not, and then she's going to go out. It just doesn't happen in Islam. You know what I'm saying? And he has rights to prevent her. In fact, haram for her to leave. If she winds up disobeying him completely, says, I don't care what you say, and I'm still going to go out of the house, then this is the time when you consider
divorce.
Because of course, this is after advice and admonishment and bringing people to educate her and help her out. And we're not saying this, it's instant, yani the next thing you see, divorce. No, but if it's been an ongoing thing and she's not, you know, taking heed, then yes, this is not a woman that you want to have under your care. But you haven't answered the question, because I just gave you one example. We have many ayat, many narrations indicating that sin, whatever that sin, it could be minor. It could be major. It will put you in Jahannam eternally. And so it may not involve his wife in advising her this and that. Yes?
So maybe there's a difference between, so that sin, or some of these sins are like actions of, they're displays of kufr.
Okay.
So maybe it's the difference of, does that, has he spiritually internalized that action? Like, is that coming from his nature, or is he being disobedient in a, you know, continuous momentary lapse of weakness, or like...
Good. That's one angle that the scholars address or present in this issue. The idea of the one who, it could be, the narrations could mean, that the one who believes it's halal when it's haram. The one who makes it halal in his heart, he has made it halal for himself to do something which is haram. So they add a condition of tahleel or istihlal. Yani this man is not only committing the sin while he's feeling guilty, no, he made it halal for himself. If he made it halal for himself while it's haram, then he will go to Jannah eternally because of the sin and because of his niyyah. Unlike the one who doesn't believe, he knows he's doing a sin. That's one answer. There are other answers, but I guess let the Shaykh say it. There are many, many different answers, by the way. And all of them are beyond satisfactory. Don't think that this is a valid shubuha for the Khawarij or their likes. It is not. Because you will see through the explanation and textual evidences that there's a wonderful foundation and formula for this issue. And the whole thing revolves around that there are things which Allah promised. For example, I say to Bustanera, I will give you a car, okay? Provided that you come every Friday on time, okay? You bring your book with you. You study hard. You memorize the ayat which you'll be learning. And I put a few prerequisites or conditions he has to meet. Then I say, and that you should have an iqamah and you should not be disobedient to your mother. Fair enough? All these things you have to do and a couple of things you have to leave alone. So he comes and he does everything I told him in terms of homework, coming on time, bringing the book, blah, blah, blah. Now, according to my promise, I should give you a car. However, there is a preventive reason, which is disobedience to your parents. And so even though you met these conditions which entitle you to the car, you missing on something will nullify all of these other things, which are valid, but that one nullified that one. And so we say the same thing. If Allah promised someone the hellfire, okay, because of that sin, we have to make sure that there's nothing which prevents him from being from the inhabitants of the hellfire eternally, such as belief. And so once belief is there, it nullifies his eternal presence in Jahannam. Because had the belief been gone, it would apply. And the ayah is correct. Allah is threatening that this is what will happen. But the things have to be confirmed, and other things have to be, all the preventive reasons have to be omitted, and all the necessitating reasons have to be present. We will see. But this is what the whole thing is about. Now the Shaykh said, وَقَدْ اخْتَلَفَ الْأَئِمَّةُ رَحِمَهُمُ اللَّهُ فِي تَأْوِيلِهَا. The scholars, may Allah mercy on them, have differed in its interpretation. مع اتفاقهم على بطلان قول الخوارج والمعتزلة الذين يخلدونهم في النار ولو كانوا موحدين. Even though the scholars differed about how to interpret it, like the opinion that Brother Abdulrahim gave and then the one I gave you, and there are others from the scholars, we just quoted the scholars. Even though they differed on how to interpret it, they agree about the fallacy of the position of the Khawarij and the Mu'tazila, who actually declare permanence in the hellfire for that person, even though he died among the Muslims, even though he died with the Muwahid, La ilaha illallah, which is a very dangerous declaration. to say that this person will remain in Jahannam eternally, even though he is in his life, he will say, "Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah." It's a dangerous thing. والصواب في تأويلها ما قاله الإمام المحقق شمس الدين ابن القيم رحمه الله في المدارج. The sound opinion or interpretation is what was said by the muhakkik, the investigator. Shamsuddin, the imam, the leader of the believers in this case, Shamsuddin ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah. You all know ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah?
Yeah.
Who is his teacher?
Sheikh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah.
Yes. And who else is a student of Sheikh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah? Among the senior scholars,
Ibn Qayyim.
And who else? He was one of his students. Ibn Kathir. Everybody loves Ibn Kathir, but they hate Ibn Taymiyyah. I mean, at least the Sufis and the deviant people, they love Ibn Kathir. Oh, Ibn Kathir is a reference for them. And they go to his tafsir, and he's the student of Ibn Taymiyyah, but they don't know. If they know, they may even hate Ibn Kathir. And also Al-Dhahabi. Al-Imam Al-Dhahabi. Imam Al-Hafidh. Imam Al-Dhahabi wasn't your average imam. And his book, Al-Kabair, it remains to be a famous book until today, compilation of the major sins in Islam. And among other books that he authored, rahimahullah. So these are big ulama, and they were the students of Shaykh al-Sabi ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah, who died in prison. Alayhi rahmatullah. In his book, Al-Madarij al-Salikin, he said, فَإِنَّهُ قَالَ بَعْدَ ذِكْرِ تَأْوِيلَاتِ الْأَمَّ فِي ذَلِكُ وَانْتَقَدَى. Now, the Imam Ibn Qayyim, he was the kind of guy who not only he would give you his opinion, no. And if you read, for example, his book, Hukum Tariq Salah, it's an excellent book, The Ruling on the One Who Abandoned Salah. What he does is he brings you all the evidences that each one of the scholars presented. Yani he will bring you everything that has been said, and then he will criticize as in, yani, not criticize in a negative way, constructive criticism. He will actually give you his opinion about this and that. Then at the end, after he kind of goes through the whole thing and explains everything and their point of view and this and that, then he will give you the juice. He will give you the final declaration based on what is, you know, the most authentic tradition or the best understanding. So he had this very nice approach. He said, وَقَالَتْ فِرْقَ, a group among the scholars said, إِنَّ هَذِهِ النُّصُوصِ وَأَمْثَالَهَا مِمَّا ذُكِرَ فِيهِ الْمُقْتَضِي لِلْعُقُوبَةِ. These textual evidences and similar ones to it, the ones where they threaten the hellfire eternally or being deprived of Jannah eternally, which necessitates punishment, وَلَا يَلْزَمْ مِنْ وُجُودِ مُقْتَدَى الْحُكُمْ وُجُودَهُ وُجُودُهُ. طيب, the لَا يَلْزَمْ مِنْ وُجُودِ مُقْتَدَى الْحُكُمْ وُجُودُهُ. What the means which bring about this punishment does not bring the punishment itself, does not confirm the punishment itself. Yani I can say to you that if you were to walk from here to the masjid, you will sweat. That's what walking to the masjid necessitates. But I cannot affirm that this will happen to you. Unless when you go out, it is hot, and there's no rain, and a bunch of other things exist outside which make that principle effective. Technically speaking, you walk to the masjid, what will happen? You will sweat. But you may go out, because we're using the standard, it's Saudi, it's hot. But you go out and there's a storm, huge winds, major winds, no sun, it's cloudy, you're actually cold. You walk into the masjid cold. So even though in principle, walking to the masjid brings about sweat, this will not happen unless there's heat, sun, ABC, and then all these other things are are absent. So the things which prevent the effectiveness of the thing are missing, and the things which necessitate it are present. Is that clear? Everyone understands? Do you understand? He's like, what are you talking about? I'm glad you didn't say yes. That would have been a lie.
Excuse me, what's the book of Ibn
Al Madarij, Ibn Qayyim. Al Madarij al Salikin. No, that's another book, Hukum Tariq Salah. But it's not in English, it's in Arabic. I have a couple of. It's cheap. Every time I see it, I buy it. I don't know why. I have a problem with some of these things. Ala kulli hal. So the Shaykh said, فَإِنَّ الْحُكُمْ إِنَّمَا يَتُمُّ بِوُجُودِ مُقْتَدِيهِ وَانْتِفَاءِ مَوَانِعِهِ. The ruling, it only materializes, it only becomes effective and materializes when that which necessitates it is present and that which nullifies it is absent, or the preventive means or the preventive reasons are gone now. وغاية هذه النصوص الإعلام بأن كذا سبب للعقوبة ومقتدي لها. The whole thing behind these textual evidences is informing you that this act of yours is a reason for punishment and can bring it about. يعني, in the deen of Allah, killing a believer intentionally, Allah is telling you, killing a believer intentionally will bring about Jahannam and the abiding eternally, the anger of Allah, the curse of Allah, and the severe punishment. That's what killing a believer brings about. And it will apply to the killer, provided that he has all the things which make it effective, and all the preventives are gone. Very important. There isn't anything which prevents it. You understand what I'm saying? Like, let's just call it a wasta. Your iqama has expired, and you're supposed to be in tarheel, but you know someone in jawazat. And so now, even though according to the law, your legal status necessitates an exit visa or being deported from the country, your wasta, which is a preventive now, nullified what is supposed to be effective. Now, because there's wasta, does that mean that the government will say, okay guys, we know there's wasta, so khalas, we don't worry about the ruling. Even if your qama has expired, we will keep you here and renew it. Does that mean that they will change the law? And if they stood there and they declared it on TV, anyone, and they're being serious, sahih, anyone who violates and this and that, we will deport him. Do we say, ah, come on guys? No, because it does happen. But if there's nothing preventing it, it will happen. If there's something preventing it, it doesn't nullify the original ruling. It doesn't make it invalid. But in this case, something prevented the effectiveness or the application of the ruling. Am I speaking to myself? Are we on the same page here? Everybody understands exactly what I'm saying? Are you sure? Abdul Majid, clear?
Same as the execution.
Yes.
Exactly.
If there's something preventing the effectiveness, it doesn't undermine the threat. The threat is still there, but hey, you got some outlet. You found an outlet. So someone who may kill a believer intentionally, he's supposed to get all these, but he had an outlet. An outlet in the deen of Allah. This outlet is not from outside. This outlet he has is from Allah himself. Yani Allah who told him, here, this is what I will do. Told him in another place. Huh? What is the ayah? Inna Allah, alaykum salam. Inna Allah la yaghfiru an yushraka bih wa yaghfiru ma duna dhalika liman yasha. The same one, Allah Azza wa Jalla told him in another ayah that Allah, alaykum salam, Allah does not forgive that partners are associated with him, but he forgives whatever is lesser than that to whomever he wills. Are you with me, guys? No. You didn't pay attention. You got busy with the people coming in. I will repeat. It's not your fault. You have to come in. We're saying When I say there's an outlet from this threat, this outlet is coming from Allah or from other than Allah? From Allah Himself. Allah Himself said in another ayah that Allah does not forgive that you associate partners with Him, but He forgives whatever is lesser than that to whomever He wills. So Allah Himself told you in this ayah, this is what I will do, but He told you that it also falls under my will. If I will to forgive you, which is preventive, Allah will forgive you. Clear? So then the Khawarij and the Mu'tazila have nothing. Nothing. Because if they give you this ayah, that whoever kills a believer intentionally, this and that, they say, khalas, then you bring the ayah and surah in the other surah, surah Nisa, I believe. Say Allah, but Allah said that Allah forgives whatever is lesser than sin to whomever He wills. Whatever is lesser than shirk to whomever He wills. So now what? You understand? So you have an evidence, he has an evidence. How do you bring a relation between them in the manner which we explained? Yes, if nothing is preventing you from that ruling applying, and all the things which necessitated are present, then yes, it's going to apply. If you have a preventive reason, then you have one. And so that's how you bring a relation between both. Allahu Akbar. Now the Shaykh said, وَقَدْ قَامَ الدَّلِيلُ عَلَى ذِكْرِ الْمَوَانِعِ. And we have evidences, established evidences, that discuss or address the preventives, the things which prevent it. فَبَعْضُهَا بِالْإِجْمَاعِ وَبَعْضُهَا بِالنَّصِ. Some of these preventive means, some of them are according to ijma'. What is ijma'? Not Abdul Majid. Not Abdul Majid. What is ijma'? What? He said concession. Sahih? Big problem. Because we do have concession, by the way. What is concession in Arabic? If you drive a car, you have one. If you drive a car, you have one. And they call... Fahasa? Rukhsa. Rukhsa means concession. What is a rukhsa? If you're traveling in Ramadan, you don't have to fast. This is a concession. Rukhsa. Concession meaning the allowance to do something that you originally are not allowed to do, but you are allowed to do because of some context, you know, which makes it valid. Like breaking your fast while fasting in Ramadan, or breaking your fast in Ramadan, or while traveling, shortening the salah, or joining the salah if necessary. This is a concession. Ijma is consensus. But differentiate between concession and consensus. Concession, rukhsa. Consensus, ijma. Capish? Gonna ask you next time, Abdulhadi. If you don't remember me, you're gonna be in trouble, bro. I'm gonna tell him to take away your license to give da'wah. Tayyib. Now, وَبَعْضُهَا بِالنَّصِ. So some of them are according to ijma, and some of them بِالنَّصِ. What does nas mean? Yes. Even if you study Arabic, they say, اقرأ النص ثم أجب عن الأسئلة. Read the text and then answer the question. Nas is text. And when we say text, we mean Quran and Sunnah, which doesn't have to be written. Now, it's a privilege that we have it written. It's a privilege that we have it written. Otherwise, it is called سمعية. Remember in Aqidah Dars, we said Al-Adilla As-Sam'iyya. The evidences which you hear audibly. Because in the beginning, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he was conveying the Quran orally. And the people were memorizing the Quran orally. And so with the hadith. Some things were written down. But that wasn't the main, you know, reference. It wasn't the main means they used to preserve the Quran and the Sunnah. That happened later. It was all orally. And so it was audible. Something which you hear, not necessarily something which you read. Now, alhamdulillah, we hear, we read, we feel, because of the advancement of human beings in terms of technology and what have you. Ala kulli hal, the Shaykh said, فَالتَّوْبَةُ مَانِعٌ بِالْإِجْمَعِ. The scholars agree, consensus, that tawbah is a preventive reason. Yeah, and even if you kill the believer intentionally, if you repent to Allah, if you repent to Allah, will Allah accept the repentance or will you still be guilty for the crime? Do you have an evidence? Ya salam. Ah, ya Muslimera. The new Mufti of the Mamlaka. But just don't take any fatwa from him yet. Ha, Jama'ah. No, actually, regarding this one, we have general evidences and particular evidences. I'm saying killing. If someone killed someone intentionally, and then they repented, what is your evidence that this repentance will actually, erase and expiate the killing?
The ayah I just gave?
No. We have an ayat in the Quran specifically as about al khair of Allah. La. La.
About what?
Ya Sheikh. We said, if you kill someone and you repent, Allah, you're saying, you guys, all of you are saying, Allah will accept your tawbah. What's your evidence? What's your evidence that there's tawbah for the killer? Because this ayah says, you go to Jahannam eternally, Allah's curse, Allah's anger. How could you? See, when there's no Arabic language, there's problems, man. You guys need to get your Arabic, on point. وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَدْعُونَ مَعَ اللَّهِ إِلَهًا آخَرَ وَلَا يَقْتُلُونَ النَّفْسَ الَّتِي حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ إِلَّا بِالْحَقِّ وَلَا يَزْنُونَ وَمَنْ يَفْعَلْ ذَلِكَ يَلْقَى أَثَامًا يُضَاعَفْ لَهُ الْعَذَابُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ وَيَخْلُدْ فِيهِ مُهَانًا إِلَّا مَنْ تَابَ وَآمَنَ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا. Furqan. And the one who does not call on with Allah other gods, and does not kill the soul which Allah made forbidden except to do right, and they lay as no, they don't commit sin, and whoever does that, then he will be given the punishment. The punishment will be multiplied for him on the day of judgment, and he will abide in Jahannam eternally, except the one who repents, he believes, and he does righteous deeds. So now we have a specific evidence from the Quran that the killer, if he does tawbah, then Allah will. أُولَٰئِكَ يُبَدِّلُ اللَّهُ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ حَسَنَاتِ. Allah will replace the evil deeds with good deeds. That's specific evidence. Let's say we didn't have it. We say the Prophet ﷺ, التَّوْبَةُ تَجُبُّ مَا قَبْلَهَا. Tawbah erases everything which comes before it. He said, التَّائِبُ مِنَ الذَّنْبِ كَمَنْ لَا ذَنْبَ لَهُ. The one who repents from a sin is like the one who never sinned. We have these hadith, general hadith, which apply to shirk and kufr and killing and everything in this regard. Then kufr and shirk, if someone dies in that state, then they have a problem, because we have a specific evidence that explains that hadith. So you see how it is? The Quran and the Sunnah, they complete each other and they explain each other, and you understand them in the light of each other. You can't take things individually. You can't take a text and use it to understand Islam, because you may do the opposite of what you're supposed to do, which happens all the time. People read the hadith of Bukhari, specifically those who love to read Bukhari. They read Bukhari, and they found a hadith about the Prophet ﷺ mentioning that if someone loans you something, and his way, when someone would loan him, when he would pay back, he would like to give them something as a gift for people having been kind. So someone read the hadith, said then, riba's halal. Riba's halal, because you're giving the bank money, and now they're keeping the money, they're giving you a little bit extra. So now he forgot about all the other hadith and all the ayat in the Quran and everything, and he made halal what Allah made haram, because he misunderstood a hadith he read in Bukhari. You can read a hadith in Bukhari, which is in another context, which is understand according to the ulama. There's one thing when I put a contract and I say, look man, I'm going to lend you 500 riyals and you have to pay me back 600. Sahih? That's stipulating riba. And it's another thing when I give you 500 riyals and I only want from you how much? 500. You give me 500 and a juice. Are these the same? What I make in the condition, and you must give me back 100 riyals extra, and when you out of the goodness of your heart give me something extra. It's not the same. So how do you bring this to me? So people call me on the phone and said, brother, you know, this brother said he read in Bukhari and he said the riba is halal. I said, he's riba is halal. Allah says, haram Allahu riba. Allah made riba haram. He's going to say, Allah, riba is halal. Yes, yeah. Don't read Bukhari, Allah yasalhak. If you don't know, don't read Bukhari. Or read Bukhari and understand that when you read a hadith, you must ask the scholars, how do I understand this hadith in the light of other textual evidences? So it's very important to have this comprehensive understanding of Islam to be able to understand it correctly. Otherwise, you may read one ayah, one hadith, and you will be led astray and you will lead others astray. Mashi? How long have we been going at it? MashaAllah. Tayyip. We need to do this. Listen to this now. Tawbah is mani'. Tawbah is preventive. It's a preventing reason according to the ijma'. والتوحيد مانع بالنصوص المتواترة التي لا مدفع لها. Tawheed is a preventive, is a preventing reason without a doubt. With abundance of textual evidences that the believer will eventually go to Jannah. Sahih? Don't we have many evidences that the believer will eventually be taken out of the hellfire? Yes, we do. So this will nullify any other threat which exists in the Quran and the Sunnah. Tawbah, Tawheed. والحسنات العظيمة الماحية المانعة. The huge good deeds which erase the bad deeds and they prevent the application of the punishment. Sahih? إن الحسنات يذهبن السيئات. Allah says in the Quran, verily the good deeds will erase the bad deeds. They will take them away. So someone may have committed all these sins which according to Allah, he should go to Jahannam. He has so many good deeds that it took care of the bad deeds. Alhamdulillah. You see what I'm saying? والمصائب الكبائر المكفرة مانعة. The great calamities, the expiating calamities are also a preventive reason, preventing reason. Sahih? If you're struck with a calamity, Allah will forgive you sins according to your suffering. Isn't it? Isn't it the Prophet ﷺ, anything which afflicts the believer, anything, pain, anxiety, whatever, even a thorn which pokes your finger, Allah will expiate from your sins according to the level of affliction. So if someone has a huge calamity, like their parents passing away, children passing away, their house being burned down, this is a huge calamity. According to their suffering, Allah will expiate their sins. So the expiation of sins or calamities prevent the application of these punishments. وَإِقَامَةُ الْحُدُودِ فِي الدُّنْيَا مَانِعٌ بِالنَّصِ. And according to the textual evidence, the application or the execution or the application of the penal codes in this life also expiate. يعني, the fornicator, according to the ulama, or the adulterer, if he's stoned to death, the very stoning to death will expiate for the sin. Once the punishment is applied, it takes away the consequence in the life to come. Subhanallah. So you see what I'm saying now? Now you understand the issue clearly? I hope so. فنعم. ولا سبيل إلى تعطيل هذه النصوص. Now you must put it like that. You have no way on earth, no way on earth that you can void or invalidate all these evidences about tawheed, about tawbah, about the expiation, about the calamities. What are you going to do with these evidences? There are so many. You must believe in them and understand them. فلا بد من إعمال النصوص من الجانبين. You must apply the textual evidences on both sides. ومن هنا قامت الموازنة بين الحسنات والسيئات اعتبارا لمقتضى العقاب ومنعه وعمالا لأرجحها. سبحان الله. From all this, we get the idea of the scales on يوم القيامة and the balance, and that there are good deeds and bad deeds. You see? There will be good deeds, but if they are bad deeds, if the good deeds are outweigh them, then the person will go where? To Jannah. Allah yahdik. Come on, man. Takfir. If the good deeds outweigh the bad deeds, the good deeds going down, and these are going up, then you go to Jannah. But did he have bad deeds? Yes. You see, other way around. He had good deeds, but bad deeds outweighed them. Jahannam, unless Allah wills otherwise. Allah may forgive. But if Allah doesn't forgive, then... So, from where did we get this principle of weighing things out and things balancing each other? The same principle of Yawm al-Qiyamah, we understand the hadith now in the same manner. Yes, you were supposed to go to Jahannam because of killing a Muslim intentionally, but you had A, B, C, D, which removed the application. The application of the ruling. قالوا وعلى هذا بناء مصالح الدارين ومفاسدهما. On this foundation, we find the benefits of both lives and the corruption in both, in this life and the life to come. وعلى هذا بناء الأحكام الشرعية والأحكام القدرية. And upon this principle, we build the legal rulings. And the those which are pertaining to the qadr of Allah Azza wa Jal. وَهُوَ مُقْتَدَ الْحِكْمَةِ السَّارِيَةِ فِي الْوُجُودِ. And this is all according to the wisdom which exists amongst us. Yani this wisdom of balance is everywhere you go. Sahih? In school, what is school except balance? If you do good enough to pass a particular grade, you will pass. It's the same principle. If you do so bad that you can't make it up to 65, if that's the average, then they will say, take a hike. You're not going to get anything from here. It's the same idea everywhere at work. What is at work? They look at you as an employee. How productive are you? If you have, I mean, you're going to have problems. But if your production is superior to the problems they have with you, they will keep you. And they will try to resolve the issues. And if you have way more two problems, way too many problems, and your productivity is very minimal, then they will say, see you later. So you look everywhere you go. With your children, you apply the same thing. You do good, I'll give you ice cream. You don't do good, I'll eat the ice cream. Right? In front of you. And the kid's like, Mom, I'm not gonna do it again. So it's fun, of course, when you have kids, to do with them some things of this sort, but take it easy on them, you know. But you have to discipline them, otherwise kids are wild. And these kids are wild. They want to become the parents. As soon as he's 2 or 3 years old, Baba, come here. Excuse me, man? You come here, man. I'm not going anywhere. I'm your father. Say, excuse me, Dad. Can I show you something? You don't say, come here to your father. As far as I know, this is supposed to be in all cultures. If you're a Muslim. If you're not a Muslim, then everything goes. Some people beat up their parents. But if you're a Muslim, it doesn't matter now what culture you come from, that culture cannot make you violate what Allah made haram. And so, wherever you came from, however you treat your parents in your homeland, once you become a Muslim, that must change. And Islam will govern the way you treat your parents. And respect is part and parcel of that. So we have to be very careful when it comes to, because culture sometimes, you know, it sometimes interferes with the religious teachings. And so we have to understand as Muslims how to deal with our parents, children, spouses, not as culture. Because culture may be oppressive. And very often it is. Some cultures the woman has to massage her husband 3 hours a day. That's a lot. 2.5 hours is enough. Anyways, so you have to take it easy, you know. Where was I? Now, وَبِهِ اِرْتِبَاطُ الْأَسْبَابُ وَمُسَبِّبَاتِهَا خَلْقًا وَأَمْرًا. Through this principle of balance, we find that integration between the reasons and what happens because of the reasons. يعني in they call it karma in other religions. You know, you do good, you get good. You do bad, you get bad. It's that same principle. Again, it's all balance. In terms of the creation, in terms of command. وَقَدْ جَعَلَ اللَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ لِكُلِّ ضِدٍ ضِدًّا يُدَافِعُهُ وَيُقَاوِمُهُ وَيَكُونُ الْحُكْمُ لِلْأَغْلَبِ مِنْهُمَ. Allahu Akbar. As a general principle, Allah has made for everything an opposite, which opposes it. Allah has made for everything an opposite, which opposes it, and it resists it, and the final judgment will be for the one which is stronger. Iman, kufr. There's resistance. whichever one is better, you win. Huh? Shaitan, the speech of Shaitan, the speech of Allah. Everything, you have both things are opposing each other. Whichever one you favor that is pleasing to Allah will be the one that will be superior. والعافية وفساد الأخلاط وبغيها مانع من عمل الطبيعة عفوا ويكون الحكم أي فالقوة مقتضية للصحة. Being strong is a reason to be healthy. صحيح. Being strong brings about healthiness. والعافية وفساد الأخلاط وبغيها مانع من عمل الطبيعة. And فساد, when people transgress, it actually affects the nature of the course of nature. Yani the things which we do of corruption, they will cause pollution, air pollution, water pollution, whatever kind of pollution you see is because of what? Because of the things which we do. Again, the issue of the balance. وفعل القوة والحكم للغالب منهما. So then the power is according to the one which is stronger, and the effectiveness is according to the one which is stronger among them. وكذلك قوة الأدوية والأمراض. Similarly, disease and medicine. Disease and medicine. Again, if the medicine is strong enough to alleviate and get rid of the disease, it's gone. If not, the disease will remain and the medicine will be ineffective. Subhanallah, everything is like that. والعبد يكون في مقتضى للصحة ومقتضى للعطب. And you as a human being, you're vulnerable to sicknesses and diseases, and you could be in a good healthy condition. وأحدهما يمنع كمال تأثير الآخر ويقاومه. And then one of them will prevent the existence of the other condition, and he will resist it. Yani you may be in a condition that's supposed to be healthy, but something happens to you and your health is gone. Again, same idea. فإذا ترجح عليه وقره كان تأثير قهره كان تأثير له. So if one then side of the balance is stronger, then it will have an effect on the other side. ومن هنا يعلم انقسام الخلق إلى من يدخل الجنة ولا يدخل النار وعكسه. From this we understand how the humans or how people are divided into those who will enter Jannah and those who will not enter the fire and vice versa. Meaning those who will enter the fire and they will not enter Jannah. وَمَا يَدْخُلِ النَّارِ ثُمَّ يَخْرُجْ مِنْهَا. And then those who will enter the hellfire, those who will enter the hellfire and then they will be taken out. ويكون مكثه فيها بحسب ما فيه من مقتضى المكث في سرعة الخروج وبطئه. And his abode or the duration in which he stays in the hellfire has to do with other means which make it either fast or slow. ومن له بصيرة منورة يرى بها كل ما أخبر الله به في كتابه من أمر المعاد وتفاصيله. The one who has been given the enlightenment, the one who doesn't just see with his eyes, he sees with nur, with light, he will be able to see everything which Allah Azza wa Jal spoke about in his book concerning the last and the promises and the details therein. حَتَّى كَأَنَّهُ يُشَاهِدُهُ رَأْيَ الْعَيْنِ. As if he can see it with his own eye. I mean, he sees with his heart and intellect as if he's seeing it with his own eye. وَيُعْلَمُ أَنَّ هَذَا مُقْتَدَى إِلَهِيَتِهِ وَيَعْلَمُ أَنَّ هَذَا مُقْتَدَى إِلَهِيَتِهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَرُبُوبِيَّتِهِ وَعِزَّتِهِ وَحِكْمَتِهِ. And he knows that all of this is a byproduct of the deity of Allah Azza wa Jalla, or no, the holiness of Allah in this sense. The holiness meaning the right to be deified, and the lordship of Allah, and the might of Allah and His wisdom. وَأَنَّهُ يَسْتَحِيلُ عَلَيْهِ خِلَافَ ذَلِكَ. And that is impossible that Allah will deal with things in a manner other than what we know now. The balance, that this will send you to Jahannam unless you have this, or this will send you to Jannah unless you have this. Because someone may do many good deeds, but he's undutiful to his parents. Even though he's entitled to Jannah, his undutifulness may ruin all the good deeds. So this balance is from the wisdom of Allah. It's just the way it is. If you really look at it, you have no problem reading an ayah which threatens in Jahannam and another one which promises Jannah, and be able to understand them in the light of each other. Because you know this is from the wisdom of Allah. ونسبة ذلك إليه نسبة ما لا يليق به إليه. And if to attribute to Allah other than that is attributed to him that which is not befitting His Majesty. فيكون نسبة ذلك إلى بصيرته كنسبة الشمس والنجوم إلى بصره. So then referring this to this is his sight is like referring the, this this the sun and the stars to his vision. وهذا يقين الإيمان. This is the certainty of faith. وهو الذي يحرق السيئات كما تحرق النار الحطب. And that is what burns up the evil deeds the same way that the fire burns the logs. The same way the fire burns wood. وصاحب هذا المقام من الإيمان يستحيل إصراره على السيئات وإن وقعت منه وكثرة. The person who understands this, his iman will prevent him from being persistent on these evil sins, even if he does it a lot. His iman will prevent him from being consistent in doing so. فإنما معه من نور الإيمان بأمره بتجديد التوبة كل وقت بالرجوع إلى الله في عدد أنفاسه. Because he has of the light of faith, which calls him to renew his tawbah every time he falls into the sin, and to return to Allah as many breaths as he has. وهذا من أحب الخلق الله. This kind of person is the most beloved to Allah. The one who understands these principles in this fashion, and because of his iman, whether either he abandons the sin to begin with, or when he falls into it, he returns quickly to Allah. انتهى كلامه وقدس الله روحه وجزاء الإسلام والمسلمين خيرا. This is the end of the quotation of Ibn al-Qayyim. May Allah Azza wa Jal, you know, sanctify his soul and bless him and reward him with goodness on behalf of all the Islam and the Muslimin. Because this is heavyweight. What Ibn al-Qayyim said right now is a principle that he wrote some 700 years ago, more or less, that until now is the for the ulama, this is the crust, this is the foundation of this principle, that many Muslims deviated from the straight path because of misunderstanding it. Khawarij and Mu'tazira, because of or Murji'ah, on both ends, they misunderstood this principle, they were led astray. So now all of you understand that the principle is, when Allah promises something, it is to be applied. Provided that everything which necessitates application exists and every preventing reason is absent. When there's everything which is supposed to make it apply is there and everything preventing it is gone, definitely it will apply. Once there's a preventing reason, then you have to take it into consideration. Otherwise, the ayat are threatening the people. Clear? طيب جزاكم الله خير وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد. Yes.
We understand that the life of Allah and his lives is of people.